From Storyflow, this is your daily audio brief for July 13th. Iris, July 13th. The morning read, 10 things in health worth the 8 minutes. Let's get into it. First, from Science Alert. Light can act as a quantum break to slow movement in the nano world, scientists discover. This discovery of light-induced quantum friction fundamentally changes our understanding. Science Alert stories are written, fact-checked, and edited by humans, never generated by AI. Don't miss a story, subscribe here. Next, second, from Inverse Science. Ormond Hightower, House of the Dragon. Just changed one character from the books for the better. Hey, quick lowdown on the newest twist in House of the Dragon. In Season 3, Episode 4, the show gives us a character that wasn't really fleshed out in Fire and Blood, Ormond Hightower, and suddenly, he's a full-blown antagonist. The series turns his book page role into a snobbish, silver-hair-hating aristocrat who thinks his family is a superior breed. When he learns Eamon won't back him, he erupts, draws his sword, and starts hacking at the table, making him the most visceral villain we've seen so far. That shift adds a clear bad guy to a show that's usually morally grey, and it feels like a purposeful, fun upgrade for the story. Up next, third, from New Atlas. Boris rides the most extreme production Harley ever built. So, you know how Harley Davidson's been around for a while, right? Well, back in 2006, they built this insane motorcycle called the V-Rod Superbike. It was basically a drag racing machine with a 1200cc V-twin engine that could put out over 150 horsepower. They even took it to the track and clocked a quarter-mile time of 9.6 seconds, which is ridiculously fast for a production bike. The V-Rod Superbike was a one-off, but it showed what Harley Davidson was capable of when they wanted to push the limits. It had a dry clutch, a close-ratio 6-speed transmission, and a whole bunch of other performance-oriented features. It was basically a drag racing bike that you could take home and ride on the street, which is just wild. Now, I know what you're thinking. What happened to this bike? Well, it's still out there, and there are only a handful of them in existence. They're super rare and highly sought after by collectors, which makes sense given how unique and extreme they are. It's worth noting that while the V-Rod Superbike was a groundbreaking bike in its time, it wasn't without its issues. Some people found it to be a bit too radical for everyday riding, and it didn't exactly have the most comfortable ergonomics. But hey, if you're looking for a bike that'll get your adrenaline pumping, this might be the one for you. The V-Rod Superbike is a reminder that even the biggest manufacturers can get a little crazy and try something wild every now and then. And who knows, maybe one day we'll see a bike like this again. But for now, it's just a piece of motorcycle history that's worth checking out. And then fourth, from our public lands and waters, how habitat protections under the Endangered Species Act saved the bald eagle, America's most symbolic animal. The biggest clue that the recovery really happened is the numbers. After DDT was banned and the Endangered Species Act protected nesting sites, the bald eagle count jumped from just 417 known pairs in the early 1960s to over 70,000 pairs today. Those figures come from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service's regular surveys, so they're solid, government-tracked data rather than anecdote. What drove that swing was a two-step policy push. First, the EPA's 1972 ban on DDT stopped the pesticide from thinning eggshells, which had been causing most hatchlings to die. Second, the ESA passed in 1973 with overwhelming bipartisan support, made it illegal to destroy the birds' breeding habitats. Together, they gave the eagles a safe place to nest and a healthier environment for their chicks. Because of those protections, the species moved from endangered to threatened in 1995 and was finally removed from the endangered list in 2007. The recovery is now considered one of the most successful wildlife turnarounds in U.S. history, and the current estimate of roughly 316,000 individual eagles shows the long-term impact of the legislation. The recent change announced in 2026, narrowing the ESA's definition of harm to only direct killing, means habitat destruction is no longer counted as a threat. That rollback could undo decades of progress, so keeping an eye on how it plays out will be crucial for the eagle's future. Next, fifth, from New Scientist. A worm that lived 500 million years ago preferred turning right. Researchers examined about 100 fossils of the Ediacaran worm, Spirigina floundersii, from South Australia. They found twice as many specimens bent leftward than rightward, indicating the living animal tended to turn right. The pattern is statistically significant and mirrors the handedness bias seen in many modern animals, suggesting an early nervous system asymmetry. This pushes the origin of functional asymmetry back into the Ediacaran about 555 million years ago, showing that basic traits like bilateral symmetry and a turning preference predate the Cambrian explosion. Up next, sixth, from New Scientist. Injection halves risk of chromosome error common in older human eggs. A tiny study looked at 111 immature eggs from women aged 22-43, comparing eggs that got a single mRNA injection for the protein Sugoshin 1 with eggs left untouched. A few hours later, premature chromosome separation dropped from about 53% in untreated eggs to 29% in treated ones. In donors over 35, the aneuploidy rate fell from roughly 65% to 44%. The difference wasn't statistically significant, likely because the sample was small, but the trend suggests the injection can improve chromosome stability. Mouse experiments showed the same approach led to healthy offspring with no obvious side effects, paving the way for early phase human trials. And then, seventh, from New Scientist, special relativity can warp chemical bonds. Now we've seen it happen. A team at Brown used electron density imaging on a cold bismuth carbon molecule, then compared the data to advanced relativistic calculations. They expected three conventional sigma and pi bonds, but the images showed two bonds that were hybrids, not fitting the usual categories. Theory showed the hybridization comes from electrons near bismuth, moving fast enough that relativistic effects alter their next. Eighth, from New Scientist. 2026 eclipse, five citizen science projects you can contribute to. Hey, there's a total solar eclipse on 12th August that will sweep across parts of Europe, the Arctic, and the Atlantic. While scientists will be busy with instruments, they've opened up a handful of citizen science projects you can jump into, even if you're not a researcher. If you're in the path of totality, you can set a white sheet on the ground and film the fleeting shadow bands that appear just before and after totality. Another easy way is to run the SunSketcher app on your phone. It snaps timed photos of the Bailey's beads effect, and each geolocated picture helps map the sun's exact shape. For anyone, even under a partial eclipse, the Gaia 4 sustainability kit lets you log sky brightness and other weather data, adding to a global picture of how eclipses affect the atmosphere. If you prefer looking at data rather than the sky, the Sun Grazer project lets you scan satellite images for sun-grazing comets, and the Dynamic Eclipse Broadcast DEB program offers training and equipment for deeper eclipse observations, though you'd need to sign up for the 2027 event. And of course, never look at the sun without proper solar filters or eclipse glasses. Up next, ninth, from New Scientist, global warming already causing crop losses of over $20 billion a year. A recent statistical analysis of FAO crop yield data linked past heat waves and drought to a 3.5% drop in global maize, wheat, and soybean production since the 1970s. The authors then translated that loss into about $20 billion in annual farm revenue today, and under a high emission scenario, projected a rise to roughly $160 billion by 2100, as yields could fall another 35%. The work focuses on three major crops and doesn't factor in floods, storms, or price spikes, so the true economic impact could be larger, especially for low-income countries that rely heavily on farming. Because the method relies on statistical relationships rather than process-based plant models, some experts think the long-term numbers may be overstated, while others argue the approach is appropriate for estimating the immediate effects of extreme heat and drought. And then, 10th, from New Atlas, XL Tiny House Trades Portability for Apartment-Style Comfort. So, I was reading about this tiny house called the Evergreen XL, and it's actually not that tiny. It's more like a small apartment on wheels, but without the wheels. It's designed to be stationary, which means it's not meant for people who want to move around a lot. But what's interesting is that it's got a really spacious interior with high ceilings and big windows. It's almost like living in a regular house, but on a much smaller footprint. They're using materials like reclaimed wood and steel to give it a more industrial feel. It's not for everyone, but if you're looking for a cozy, apartment-style space without the high rent, this might be worth checking out. That's the read. Small inputs, compounding results. Back tomorrow. Want this every morning? It's free. Set up your own feed at storyaflow.com.